and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a magnificent Monday. A lot of stuff, a lot of articles for you guys. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. It's great. The chemtrails here are so bad, I don't think I've ever seen them work. I mean, it's unbelievable today. So you guys, I hope they're not hitting you like they're hitting us right now. Well, by the way, my congratulations to the the Eagle fans, the winners of last night rigged the Super Bowl, the professional wrestling of football. And I'm glad that they were chosen by the Power Elite to win that game. And they also played an excellent game. I watched a little bit of it, and I was very happy to see that they didn't kneel. Now, I've got a couple comments about all of this. Remember, the Super Bowl and professional football in general is not considered a sport. It's actually registered as an entertainment like professional wrestling. We've talked about that repeatedly on the show. They don't really have to let teams play to the actual victor. They can pretty much determine who's going to win based upon numbers and upon revenue generated. Very important that everybody understands that. And I'm not saying these guys aren't athletes. I'm not saying they're not gifted athletes. I'm not saying they can't run like the wind and catch like things I've never seen before. I mean, because they can do all of that stuff, and they're very skilled at not getting hurt and basically, you know, and chasing people down, that kind of stuff. So I really enjoy football. I also know that I personally believe that college football, in many cases, the bigger games are rigged in college. I saw that, and we talked about it repeatedly when Austin and I went and we watched the Florida State Auburn game in Pasadena, how they did not even have a hat that said Florida State had won the game, which was very odd to me and still is to this day. And then I watched Jameis Winston appear, I'm not saying that he did, appear to shave points the following game, and then suddenly he's the following year, and suddenly he's brought into the NFL. And I personally don't believe Florida State had been anointed to win the Pasadena National Championship game. I think that was something that Jameis Winston did on his own with his team, simply because of just sheer desire. But I don't know that. And I also believe that Tim Tebow also is not allowed to play in the NFL because he doesn't want to play that game. He thinks it's a real sport and a real game, and he doesn't understand as a Christian that he can't – he understands as a Christian that he really doesn't need to be out there deceiving people, hence the game that he played when he was running with Denver a few years ago, which he won the playoff game, and he was not supposed to have done that. I remember I watched John Elway in absolute disgust and anger watching Tebow win that game, and basically he was cut from the team, which doesn't make any sense to me. So all of these things, remember, as part of the bread and circus that our government – and the rulers of this planet use in order to control you, you're basically right back into the Roman Colosseum, and are you not entertained? I mean, I personally watched a few minutes of the game last night, had no interest in watching the rest of it. I went to see the rest of that movie that I basically left last week called Hostiles, and I have to say this is an R-rated movie. It's got some strong language in it, and it's got some pretty aggressive scenes in it, which you'd expect for a hardcore Western. But it's probably one of the best acted movies I've seen in the past year. If you're an adult and you don't mind the bad language, it's probably one of the best movies you're going to see. It's only done a little over $20 million in total box office receipts. It should have done much, much more. It's got some of the best, like I said, acting and cast selection that I've ever seen. And quite frankly, I thoroughly enjoyed it along with the scenery. Now, again, it's an R-rated movie. I don't suggest taking children to it. But there is no like gratuitous sex scenes. In fact, there really is no sex scene in the entire movie. But there is foul language in the movie throughout, you know, scattered throughout the movie, but not entirely. It's not like one of those you have to get up and walk out of the movie because of the language. So it's one of those movies I really recommend to people to see if they can deal with the language. And so that's number one. Number two, I want to talk about prayer. I had a friend come over yesterday, or one of Harrison's friends, another college kid, and he was praying with us in the morning, and he's a good kid. I like him. And I've talked to him about prayer before, but he's trained as a Baptist in praying. Now, a lot of Baptists train really well. A lot of them pray really well. A lot of them don't really know how to pray. A lot of people don't know how to pray in general, and I've talked about this on the show a couple of times, and I've got to bring this up real quick because it's so important. If we believe that our thoughts create scalar waves, if we believe that our prayers are scalar waves, if we believe that prayer and scalar waves change the fabric of space-time, which I do believe, I believe that the Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I believe that we can do all things through, it says the Bible, the power of life and death is in the tongue. It tells us all of these little things in the Bible about what prayer does and what our words do. Now, physics has said that thoughts create physical reality, as with consciousness, also does the same thing when we pray and we believe that God's going to do certain things. Even Christ himself said, ask as if you've already received it in the past tense, and it will be given unto you, and that's faith. Now, I'm saying all that to say this, because I've done extensive teachings on it before. I'm not going to do that today. But here's what you have to do. You have to pray for what you want to have happen, not what you don't want to have happen. You have to pray that people are protected by the blood of the Lamb. You've got to station angels around people. You've got to cover people with the blood of Christ, you know, metaphorically. You've got to basically, put a hedge of thorns around people. You know, that's what you have to do metaphorically when you pray. And what happens, you create an energy field around that person that protects them. Now, here's what I suggest you don't do when you pray. Don't pray for negative outcomes. Don't say, dear Lord, please don't let Joe be murdered today by a gang of raving lunatics. Okay, why would you pray that to start with? Well, that's how some people pray. If they know that Joe is going downtown in an area that has raving lunatics, so they're praying that Joe doesn't get killed by the raving lunatics. How about you pray that Joe is protected by the power of Jesus today, and he's covered in the blood of Christ, and we have angels stationed around him? Why don't we not speak anything about raving lunatics in a prayer that we're putting out scalar waves? Now, you think, what in the world are you talking about today, Ted? Pray in the affirmative. If someone is going to go off to college, don't pray, say, don't do this. You pray, dear Lord, you know, I pray that all of the people that come into this person's life who are trying to give him drugs and trying to cause him to stumble and fall and not be a Christian, and all of these drug addicts that constantly talk to him, and all of these girls that are constantly propositioning him, and all of these people that are doing these horrible things to him, that they fail. Why are you praying that? Why are you praying that? And, you know, yesterday morning, we didn't have one that bad, but I had to stop right there after the person had prayed and say, I rebuke that, I don't receive that, because he was making some real negative comments about my youngest son going off to college. Now, here's how I would pray. Father, when John goes to college this week or next month or whenever he leaves, I pray that you protect him. I pray that you surround him with great people. I pray you surround him with Christians. I pray that he finds a great Bible study group that he can go to, and he can build himself in the Word, and he can stay firm and resolute in what he was taught here at home. I pray, Father, that he hangs out with good people, wonderful people, people that are committed to Jesus Christ. I pray that he remains, you know, celibate until he gets married. I pray, Father, that he can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, and he's covered by the blood of the Lamb. You guys see the difference there. You know, you don't want to pray all this negative stuff for God to protect him from. Why do you want to speak that negative stuff? If we believe our prayers are powerful and they create these environments. And then the other thing people do, they're always praying about the devil. I can't stand that. The devil's under our feet. When we're connected to God through the Holy Spirit and his dimension, we believe the 13th dimension, all the other realms are beneath us. Lucifer's under our feet. He has no authority over us. Why is he entering into your prayer life? Why are you just casually talking about the devil or demons? Why are you talking about that? Same thing. Why are you bringing them up into this conversation? Now, if you are specifically having attack, being attacked by something, like a couple years ago when Austin was in the hospital and we were in the emergency room, and his heart was in just massively inflamed, and the pericardial sac was inflamed, and he was being attacked, as far as I'm concerned, by the devil, I rebuke Satan right there in the middle of the emergency room in front of all the staff and everybody else, and I'm praying out loud. Okay, that's a specific attack, because I don't tolerate his behavior. But I'm not going to even communicate with him or speak about him, because he's irrelevant to me. I'm going to say that again. He's irrelevant. Why do I want to talk about him? He's nothing to me. He's under my feet. He's Lucifer. He's the father of lies. I have no interest in having a conversation with him or about him, and I certainly, unless I'm rebuking him in the name of Jesus, have no interest in even communicating or speaking to him. Does that make sense to you, Austin?
Absolutely.
And people Absolutely. Do that all the time when they pray. They start talking about demons and this and that. I remember a few years ago, we were at a church in Lakeland that we no longer attend, and they were singing this song. And basically the song was, hear you spirits of darkness. They're singing to the spirits of darkness in the middle of their sermon, trying to bring in the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, what the heck is this? Are you guys like Looney Tunes? And sure enough, it made the newspaper. Somebody finally had enough and wrote a letter to the editor and said, these people over here at Family Worship Center, they're singing to the devil. See, this is what we have to understand, is we don't need to be involving these things and these entities into our daily lives. Because quite frankly, I don't care about them. I've already rebuked them. I've already stationed angels. Guys, if God is on your side, God plus one's always a massive majority. I mean, nothing else can touch you if he's on your side. That's how you have to look at it. Because remember, the devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. And so I have no interest in having him in my daily conversation with God or rebuking him, because he's already been rebuked. He's already under the blood of Christ. He's already under our feet, because he has no authority over us. That's why even the demons flee when they hear the name of Jesus. Remember, I told you this, guys. If you're listening today and you're not a Christian, and you're saying, what the heck am I listening to? This guy sounds like a preacher. It's like some kind of, he's a Looney Tune preacher. Okay, whatever. And then you start saying, I believe in, you know, demonic spirits, or I believe in aliens, or I believe in all of this stuff. Guys, if you don't believe in Christ today, and you want to have a little bit of verification from your History Channel with your alien objective, just Google aliens, basically, or, you know, people who are abducted or returned to their homes when they call in the name of Jesus. And over and over and over again, tens of thousands of times, people who are Christians who are abducted, when they call in the name of Jesus, these entities get a hold of them, they put them back where they got them from, because they know who Jesus is. And they tremble. And they don't want him to show up. That's why they're taking you back to where you belong. So we have authority over all of these principalities and all of this stuff. Now, does that mean we don't need to be resolute and firm in our prayers? Does that mean we just need to try to basically not think about, you know, stationing angels? Absolutely not. We should station angels around us every single day. We should plead the blood of Christ over us every single day. We should put a hedge of thorns around ourselves and our family every single day. And we create like a spiritual bubble, like a force field that we actually put around because of our connection with God. Because remember, when we connect to God through the Holy Spirit and his dimension, he shares with us a tiny, tiny, tiny little percentage of his omnipotence, omniscience, and his omnipresence. That's why he allows the Holy Spirit to lead you and to direct you and to guide you. And he allows you to have these things under your feet, because they're under his feet. So remember, it's called a covenant relationship. God's the covenant head. It's a blood covenant in the blood of Christ. The blood, it's like back in the old days when the Indians used to have a blood covenant. One would cut their hand, the other would cut their hand, like you see in the outlaw Josie Wales when he makes that blood covenant with that Indian chief. And they put their hands together and their blood intermingles. And that person then who's the covenant head basically allows the other person complete access to everything he has, and vice versa. They become blood brothers. They become as one. That's what God did with us through the blood of the Lamb. That's what he did with us through Christ, through the cross. That's the importance of all of the stuff that he did. And I'm barely touching the surface on blood. And you guys have known I've done entire, you know, shows just on the blood of Christ in scalar waves and energy fields. And this is what happens. So, but we have to remain resolute in our faith, and we have to remain frosty. Now, let's talk about one other thing that I want to cover, then we'll start on the news today. A few years ago, on November the 30th, 2013 now, a little over 4 years ago, Paul Walker, who was on the Fast and the Furious, basically died in a Carrera GT crash in California. On the exact same day, as something that's weird to me, The guy who started TBN, the guy who started Trinity Broadcast.
Paul Crouch.
Network, Paul Crouch, he died on the exact same day, same year, November the 30th, 2013, both of them out there in L.A. County. Now, you can make of that as you wish, but Paul Crouch has some serious issues as far as I'm concerned, and I'm not going to go into those today because I know too much. But now, one of the things that they said they killed Paul Walker over, one of the reasons he died, because a lot of people believe he was murdered, is the following. Now, I don't know that. That's speculation. But here's what I want to share with you guys. This is really, 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 really important. Pharma company has been suspended as vaccine has been blamed for the sterilization of 500,000 women and children in Kenya. A state-sponsored forced sterilization on a massive scale has allegedly taken place in Africa, according to opposition leaders and the public who are railing against the government. An industrial pharmaceutical laboratory has since its license been suspended by the Kenyan Accreditation Service as a result of the controversy. Kenyan's opposition leader Raila Odinga, who swore himself in as president on Tuesday, claimed at least 500,000 young girls were sterilized. The controversy began to, came to a head several years ago when AgriQuest, that's the company, LTD, a Nairobi-based pharmaceutical company, got in a dispute with Kenya's Ministry of Health over their tetanus and polio vaccinations. A group of Catholic doctors originally made the accusations, claiming that the vaccines may contain a hormone that is dangerous to young women and can cause sterilization. Now, the reason I'm saying all of this, the hormone they are talking about in detail is HCG. That's a human gonadotropic hormone. And what's interesting about this is it's making the news again because of what happened in Kenya. And it's, here's how you spell it. Human C chorionic. It's C-H-O-R-I-O-N-I-C, gonadotropin. Here's why, and I'm originally called HCG from now on. Here's why HCG performs several functions. It triggers ovulation, and after conception, it enables the human embryo to be implanted in the womb. Women who need help in their pregnancy sometimes benefit from this, which the body recognizes as a hormone. In contrast, when the body receives it as a vaccine, it acts as an antigen. It stimulates the production of antibodies against HCG. These antibodies cause the woman's body to reject embryos, effectively sterilizing her. HCG's effectiveness in preventing pregnancies, which has been long known, has led to its use in the development of vaccines that would act as permanent contraceptives. As described in a 1993 article entitled, "A Birth Control Vaccine is on the Horizon for Family Planning in the Annals of Medicine." A number of birth control vaccines are at different stages, one of which is HCG. Now, they're saying this was put into the tetanus shots given to 500,000 girls now who could no longer get pregnant because their body is now producing antibodies against HCG, which allows the implantation of the placenta so that people can't get pregnant. They've been rendered completely and totally sterile. Now, here's the article on Paul Walker. The Fast and Furious fast-tracking star basically was killed over forced sterilization. Now, this is interesting. Governor Brown signed SB 277, eliminating parents' religious rights to refuse vaccines for their children. There now exists the absolute requirement that all California public and private school children must be immunized unless they are homeschooled. Okay, then it goes on to say that what happened with Paul Walker is this. He said that he found out about this. He found out what was going on and basically was going to go public with it. And suddenly this car, this Carrera GT race car, suddenly lost control at around 60 to 70 miles an hour, by the way, which is a complete joke for that car, crashed into a tree. And they're saying now that he was going to go open with this and talk about this on national TV and radio. And basically he died right after he found out about it. And they're saying that's one of the primary reasons that Paul Walker were killed. Now, let me go ahead. So I'll read the whole thing to you. Now I'll read it to you. Paul Walker carried out charitable acts, and he made a point to do them under the radar. He was the founder of Reach Out Worldwide, a disaster relief nonprofit. He had firsthand information about something huge and as nefarious. Paul Walker and his friend were killed shortly after they discovered a conspiracy to supply victims of Typhoon Haiyan with a prototype permanent birth control drug hidden in the vaccines being distributed as medicinal supplies along with food and aid. They had a recording and they were on their way to rendezvous with an ally who could have helped them get in touch with the right people. Turns out they were betrayed and someone either rigged the car with, quote, Boston brakes, or the car was hit by a drone or rigged with a bomb. Flames would typically be expected when the engine is in the rear of the car, but the fire was in the front, reinforces the theory of a fluid leak. However, the officials later said there was no such evidence of a fluid leak. Now, real quick, the Carrera GT basically was a race car, and it was set up to basically run on tracks at high speeds and not engulf its driver into a flames. So now, this person who has written this article, I am saying this right now, as far as I'm concerned, this is speculation. It was written by Abizad. So I don't know why Paul Walker got killed. I don't know why Paul Crouch died the same day, the same country, the same city, in the same area. I have no idea. All I know is this, that now we have a group of people in Kenya who are sterilized permanently because of these vaccines that were given to them. And quite frankly, it makes a lot of sense if Paul Walker really was on the forefront of knowing this because of his high-level contacts and because of how many people love this guy. And he was also on the hit list already because he had done the movie The Skulls back in 2000, in which he exposed Skull and Bones. It was basically a loose adaptation of Skull and Bones at Yale, and he exposed it and did a whole show on it. And in fact, none of the other actors who were on that particular show have ever amounted to much. And of course, Paul Walker's life was cut short 13 years later. So guys, I wanted to share that information with you about prayer, about the Super Bowl, about Paul Walker, about the Kenyan, about the vaccines. Because remember what Bill Gates said, we can use vaccines to sterilize people. We can reduce about 10% of the population growth through vaccinations. And quite frankly, that's what they're doing. This is all from the Jason Committee, the Jason scholars back from the 40s, in which they said the most important thing that we could do is to reduce the population growth on the planet. To me, it seems like the most important thing we can do is to continue to tell these people not to keep spraying us like we're a bunch of bugs with pesticides and who knows what else in chemtrails, and to get the information out that we get out on the show every single day. Also, what do you think about all of this stuff?
Yeah, that's some crazy stuff. And to further verify what you were talking about with that, what they did was the ones that uncovered this, apparently bishops, took four vials of the tetanus vaccines that were reserved for females, and they took them to four different unrelated laboratories inside and out Kenya, and they found that all four showed that the tetanus vaccines were laced with HCG. In contrast, tests performed on 50 other vials of tetanus vaccines that were just for general use in the population showed all 50 to be completely clear of HCG. And this is when they pulled this up on this, the Washington Post basically told UNICEF that they deemed it an extremely rare contamination. The whole aspect of this, already you guys know, is a complete and total lie. Vaccines don't get contaminated with HCG. That is not just a readily available compound that's just floating around labs on a regular basis when they're mixing vaccinations up. This is being used for a very, very specific purpose, and now we know why. And further on that, they said the head of basically the emergency medical center in Nairobi, Dr. Mahim Nair, he said, usually we give a series of three shots over 3 years. We give it to anyone who comes in the clinic with an open wound, men, women, or children. He said, the only time tetanus vaccines has been given in five doses, as we saw with these HCG-laced tetanus vaccinations, is when it's used as a carrier and fertility regulating vaccines laced with the pregnancy hormone. So what they're saying is here, the only time they've seen anybody given five tetanus shots is when they were given these vaccines that supposedly had HCG that they later found out was in them. So this is definitely something that's quite sad. I mean, they're going over here just, I mean, completely sterilizing women with vaccinations. Not a good look for anybody in the WHO, regardless. But this is what the overall agenda is. Also, too, though, switching gears and other news, make sure everybody is aware of what's going on. We talked about this last year, the end of the year. Make sure you have your reserves where they need to be. Make sure you have your food. Make sure you have any stored metals that you like, silver, gold. You guys already know the stock market fell 666 points on Friday, quite odd. Fell another 1,200 points on the Dow again today. Bitcoin's down to like $7,000 a coin. The whole market is basically starting to correct itself and starting to implode, in my opinion. It's probably not going to drop off immediately right now, but this is kind of the start of what we saw in 2007, and this is what's going to continue to happen, in my opinion. As we've told everybody so many times, the markets, I mean, Bitcoin, it's funny because I told everybody exactly what Bitcoin was doing. It was being completely and totally artificially inflated by all the money everybody was throwing into it, and all the individuals that were like the top 1% as far as they own majority of it, they were sitting there throwing money in. And it shot out of the roof, almost $20,000 a coin, to the point that almost dropped $10,000, half of its value in like 3 days. This is exactly what I told everybody was going to happen. Everybody's, oh no, Bitcoin's this, Bitcoin's that. And I, the same thing I told everybody. If you had money in it when it's $100 a coin, $200 a coin, and you're just sitting on a pile of cash and you want to watch it, gamble with it. But there are people maxing out credit cards, taking out second mortgages to buy this stuff, and now look at it. They wanted to see how far they could take it, and then yoke as much cash as they could, all the money they made, the literally hundreds of billions of dollars that were wrapped up in this market, yoked it out now. Now it's already down to 7,000. The whole Dow starting to crumble underneath that. So this is something to be aware of and understand that If you can't hold it, if you don't own it, it is not yours, and there's no way, in my opinion, you're going to be able to get it. So playing in the markets, playing in all this stupid stuff right now, be very, very careful with it, because it looks to me, you got to remember, all this stuff came down in 2008. We're on a 10-year span again. It's 2018. There's a very, very, very high probability this year, if not next year, we're going to see a huge market crash again. I was just talking to Dad about this yesterday in Central Florida here in our area. Orlando and Tampa have become so overpopulated right now. I mean, insanely overpopulated. They're bringing in another 300,000 Puerto Ricans in the state of Florida this year now, and I don't have anything against Puerto Ricans. However, our infrastructure, our roads, and our schools cannot handle another 100,000 in Miami, 100,000 in Orlando, and 100,000 in Jacksonville. It can't be done. It literally will not be done successfully. I-4, the main interstate that cuts through the state of Florida, right in the middle, Interstate 4, has become a death trap. It is literally bumper-to-bumper traffic almost any time of the day, any time of the night, going in either direction, stop-and-go traffic all the way. We're right in the middle of that in Polk County, and what they've done now is they've bought out all the Orange Grove owners in our areas, and they're putting in huge subdivisions. I mean, everywhere, almost every place that had a massive orange grove in it around our area. I was driving around the other day, just kind of, you know, driving around, testing some stuff out on my truck, and I noticed every time I went on a back road that I haven't been on in, say, a year or two, it's just houses, block houses up everywhere. Every single direction you go, new subdivisions going in, because the influx of people that literally can't live in Orlando, can't live in Tampa because there isn't physically enough room anymore. They're moving to the center of the state, and we can't handle more people in this state right now. And the problem is this whole welfare generation that we've built, and the entire welfare generation that we're doing with a lot of these immigrants, and even the people coming from Puerto Rico. And again, like I said, I don't have any issue with helping people in Puerto Rico. The problem is the last article that I found with the individuals that are coming there, because they're basically a government bailout relief because of the hurricane, they essentially are going to have state subsidy and federal subsidy grants for the next 2 years now when they come to Florida, meaning they're not going to do anything as far as work. They're really not going to contribute much to the workforce or taxes or infrastructure. They're basically going to be getting free money. The problem is, after that two-year span, and we have this extra 300,000-400,000 people that have come here, and then they're going to try to figure out how to get money and work, it's not going to happen. The job market isn't going to be open for that, and on top of that, our infrastructure isn't going to take in enough taxes to be able to cover the roads, the new schools, everything. So we're in an issue now. The same thing that's happened over in Greece that they finally started to catch on to now. The reporter over in Greece now did some research trying to figure out how all of these migrants from Afghanistan and the Middle East are living essentially so well over in Greece. I mean, they're actually, most areas, they're living pretty comfortably. They already have free housing, pretty much. They have free health care and other significant aids they help them out with. Well, now they've found that every single asylum seeker in Greece gets 400 euros of free money every single month. They can withdraw 100 euros a week out of the ATMs with basically an EBT card. This isn't going into food subsidy, housing subsidy, health care, any of that at all. This is just free money to do whatever they wish with, whenever they want to deal with it. And the problem is, with over 60,000 asylum seekers in Greece there, the idea of what's starting to happen to EU's taxpayer money is being very clear. They said now roughly almost 300 million euros are being spent last year on free money withdrawals for migrants. They said they know the answer to the question why migrants' aid costs are so high now, and why they're continuing to go there in groves, and why they're continuing to even take ships, even when the ships and little boats and dinghies will sink out in the water, the Greeks will still go out there and save them and bring them into the country now. Because, I mean, if you live in a third world country and you know if you can make it across the pond and you basically get 400 euros a month, free housing subsidy, free food, and free health care, you don't really have an incentive not to try to go there, and that's exactly what we're seeing over in Europe now, Deb.
When I was in Greece last summer, I mean, it's less than a year ago, there were the people standing in line over there by one of the gates, and they were literally hundreds and hundreds. I mean, they wrapped around the tower block, hundreds of people, probably 1,000 people in line. And I asked the Uber driver, who in the world is that? Why are these people standing in line? What are they doing? And she said, oh, those are the migrants, and they're getting their subsidies. So I guess they're just handing out money. And remember, Greece is broke. I mean, they're completely broke. They can't take out more than like $400 a week or whatever out of the bank account. So if they've got $100,000 in their lifetime savings, they can't pull out more than like $4 a week in cash. That's it. They can't do it. 400 euros. And the sad part about it is Greece knows this, and they're being forced by the United Nations and George Soros and the Rothschild boys who run the UN, because remember, all the United Nations is the League of Nations that was set up by the Council of Foreign Relations, by the CFR, that was set up by the Rothschild Bank, that was set up after World War I, that was set up to basically do all of this stuff and bring in a one-world government. That's all it is. The United Nations, personally, needs to be imploded. If I was Donald Trump and I was really in charge, I would give everybody 48 hours to get out of the UN building. And I'd have it, and I'd, while they were getting out, I would have it staged for demolition. And then within probably a week after they got it demoed and ready to go, I would just drop the doggone thing in its own footprint and be done with it. That's what I would do with it, Austin. I'd get rid of all of it.
Yeah.
I'd say, where are you? Let me show you what I think of the United Nations. And the building would go up in 10 or 12 seconds and the whole thing would be gone. That's what I would do with it. But you know, of course, Trump really is just a figurehead. He's kind of trying to do what he can, basically given this incredibly corrupt environment that he is in Washington, D.C. By the way, speaking of incredibly corrupt environments, let's go back to Bruce Jenner. Oh, I'm sorry, Caitlyn Jenner. No, that's Bruce Jenner. Well, it's going to be Bruce / Caitlyn Jenner. It's now receiving the Champion of Israel Award as the LGBTQ activists are basically promoting this. America's most prominent activist, trans activist, Caitlyn Bruce Jenner, will be receiving the Champion of Israel Award from the U.S.-based World Values Network. According to Huffington Post, Jenner will be awarded by Rabbi Bochich at the Champion of Jewish Values Award Gala. Bochich goes on to say that Israel is a bastion of global human rights. Of course, this really relates. I like what they do with Palestine. And a great light to all the nations. He goes, but the Middle East is sadly a cesspit of human rights abuses, especially towards the LGBTQ citizens who are routinely murdered, beheaded, and even hung from cranes. Rabbi Bochich says that Jenner is uniquely suited to highlight Israel's incredible record on human rights and LGBTQ rights and the protection of the LGBTQ citizens, which is utterly unique and unprecedented in the Middle East. In addition to that, you know, we know that there are literally thousands of brothels in Tel Aviv, basically with anything that you want, and approximately 25% of the population of Tel Aviv is homosexual. So I just thought I'd mention that for all of you guys who didn't know that. And also Doug Hagman, I mentioned this to him on the show the other night when I was on with him Friday, but he also mentioned to me that San Francisco is also a big LGBT group. So I told him, of course, Key West is also that, and also New York City is that. But remember, Israel, Tel Aviv, was voted the number one homosexual destination and gay-loving capital, gay-loving city in the world. Just a sidebar. What's your next story, Austin?
Yeah, absolutely. This is pretty crazy now that we know that Amazon bought Whole Foods out. They did some interviews with some employees, of actual Whole Food employees that were retained after this whole buyout now. And one of the quotes they said, I thought it was interesting, they said, the nano management now at Whole Foods is downright insane. Apparently, Whole Foods has a new inventory management system aimed at making stores more efficient, cutting out on food waste. And employees say the retailer's method of ensuring compliance is crushing morale. Oh, imagine that. Amazon crushes morale. They said the new system called Order to Shelf has a strict set of procedures for purchasing, displaying, and storing products on shelves and in back rooms. Makes sense. You got to keep inventory under control, especially when you're dealing with fresh food like that. Well, to make sure stores comply, Whole Foods relies on scorecards of their employees that evaluate everything from the accuracy of signage to the proper recording of shrinkage. Some employees who walk through stores with managers to ensure compliance describe the system as a stress-inducing 24/7 totalitarian nightmare. Conversations with 27 current and recent departed Whole Foods workers, including cashiers and employees, said that they've been with the company for nearly 2 decades. They said the employees are terrified of losing their jobs under the new system, and they spend more hours mired in OTS-related paperwork than even helping customers or making sure the stores are stock. Some are so fed up with the new system, they are quit and looking for new jobs. And so that's interesting to me. I thought this about because, I understand when you're doing, because we have Publix headquarters down here in Central Florida. That's our main food supply as far as the grocery chains. And I've got a lot of friends that work with Publix as far as that are up at the top of the food chain, bottom, selectors, all that. And almost every single person I know loves working for Publix. They take care of their employees. They pay them well. They're very, very... They make sure stuff gets done, but they're also very respectful. Nobody likes to feel like you're basically a low dog on the ground getting kicked on every single day. Even if your job is something menial, everybody likes to feel important. Amazon, is, from what I've read and I've been personally told, is one of the worst companies to work for as far as company and consumer morale that work for the company, because they're absolutely so disrespectful. They put everybody down. If you don't meet every single number that they require every single day, they basically take you into meetings, they reprimand you, they send you home, and apparently that's what they're doing now in Whole Foods, is they've gone in and used this Amazon style of inventory control, and essentially every single employee gets evaluated every single day on how everything occurs. Now, I understand that from a business model, wanting to make sure everything is efficient as possible. The problem that Amazon is not taking into effect with this, when you work in an Amazon warehouse and you're dealing with inventory day in, day out, you're not dealing with customer service or dealing face-to-face with employees, this can work a little bit more efficiently because you don't have to worry about customer service. When you find issues, and this is what we run into, you know, at the office on a regular basis, if you're in a store and you're restocking the shelves or you're trying to get your numbers done again for the day so you don't get in trouble and you're trying to make sure there's no discrepancies at all, and a customer walks over to you and says, hey, I really can't find this product. Do you guys have it here? And you go, yeah, it's on the other side or five aisles down. They go, I can't find it over there. Can you show me? You have to stop what you're doing as good customer service, take them over there, make sure they find the correct product, and then make sure everything else is okay, and then go back to what you're doing. Well, if this happens 20, 30, 40, 50 times a day, it makes it very, very difficult to stay on top of every single aspect of what you're doing. So what they're doing now is they're trying to limit the amount of employees at the Whole Foods stores. They're cutting down on them massively, so there's not even near as many as there used to be. They're giving them more requirements, more restrictions, more inventory control that they have to keep up with every day. And as soon as they don't meet those requirements, they basically get a D or an F on their daily report card, and they're reprimanded. And so this is what Amazon doesn't understand with customer service and face-to-face interactions. And in my opinion, this is going to hurt them very, very bad if they continue to do this, because their employee turnover rate is going to go through the roof, and nobody is going to want to deal or work with a company like that, Deb.
Well, this is CIA, Amazon, the CIA.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, let me just give you a brief summary. I'm not going to go into detail on this because we're almost out of time for the show already. But these people are chosen. Amazon, Jeff Bezos, chosen. CIA, controlled through the Rothschild banking cartel, chosen. He's chosen to be the person to lead Amazon. He doesn't appear to be very bright when you listen to him. Okay, Zuckerberg, same thing. Chosen by the CIA to do the stuff that he's done with Facebook. Bill Gates, again, doesn't seem to be very bright when you hear him talk. Chosen to do the stuff that he's done with, you know, his, you know, with Microsoft. George Soros, chosen by the Rothschild Bank to basically be a cutout. These people are called cutouts, to basically be the front man for the Rothschild banking cartel. This is exactly what they did with J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan was thought to be one of the richest men in the world. They had made him wealthy by giving him money, but he was another Rothschild cutout. He went in business with Tesla and the Working Cliff Tower to be able to beam energy all over the planet for free and not have to use power lines. Everybody got free power. This is 100-year-old technology. J.P. Morgan kept 51%. The Rothschilds kept 51% of technology. Tesla tried to build it. They shelved the technology. They built the tower. They saw it was going to work. I believe personally the explosion at Shanduska, I can't remember the name, over there in Russia, that happens when Tesla actually tried to beam energy across the planet with this thing. It ended up being basically a particle. It ended up being basically a death ray. Okay, and of course Tesla talked about that too. And you know, and so this group of people, the Rothschilds, they use these cutouts all over the place to control everything. Now, that's why the Rothschilds have their hands on almost every utility company in the United States now. Also, most people don't know that, because they control the power. Because remember, J.P. Morgan and Westinghouse and Edison and all these guys are bankrolled by the Rothschilds, who saw the electricity as a monopoly they could get into and control people with. And again, the Rothschild group that does all of this, they're against the EMP hardening of the wires and the infrastructure for the electricity around the country, because again, it can be used and taken down at their whim or request by simply hitting it with a, you know, a nuclear bomb or a weapon or a Compton effect or even, you know, electromagnetic pulse, which doesn't have to be a nuclear bomb, by the way. And they can do any of this stuff anywhere they want because they can continue to control. Remember, they control both sides of the narrative. That's what they do. And they tilt the planet as metaphorically any direction they want based upon which side of the narrative they promote. Right now, they're promoting the stock market to drop, and that's what it's doing. It's dropping. Okay, it's down 1,000 points in a couple days. Okay, so this is what they're doing. Of course, this thing's hyper high. I don't think it should be over 7,000 or 8,000 personally. That's where it should. It should have never come back from what happened in 2007. It should have just stayed there and stayed stable. And earnings ratio, and price to earnings ratio should have been right. All the stuff is messed up. This whole thing's messed up. Quite frankly, they're putting a big squeeze down on the economy right now with this, and we'll see how far they're going to let this run. Personally, they can do whatever they want to do. They can let it drop. They can just let it drop. It doesn't make a difference to them. Remember, all the stock market is professional wrestling, which is controlled again by these Sabbatans. It's basically the professional, you know, football, which is controlled by these guys, and the stock market. It's just legalized gambling in which the entire thing is rigged. That's why I've been out of equities now since 10 years ago when all this mess happened back in 2007 and 2008. I said, you know what? I don't need to deal with this. This is too stressful. It takes too much time. If you make an extra $10,000 in a year and you can put it in your savings account after you paid all the taxes on it and you invest it and these guys lose the $10,000, and let's say it costs you $20,000 to make the $10,000 after all the fees and all the insurance and all the other stuff you paid, you're basically losing $20,000 of gross income, you know, after taxes to the $10,000 with these guys losing money for you. So it's all just legalized fraud, and this is what these guys are involved with. That's why Austin has said this many times: stay with your gold, stay with your silver, stay with investments that you control. And remember, it's one of those things that when you start putting money in with these guys, and I'm not saying that all financial planners are bad, because they're not. There are a lot of good financial planners out there that really care about you, but probably about 90% of them, they care about one thing. They care about their commissions. And they really get upset sometimes if you lose a lot of money because you won't buy anything from them anymore. But it's not their money they're losing. It's your money. Always remember that, Austin. What do you think?
You're 100% right. I mean, it's always easier to gamble and have fun with other people's money. Remember that. Whenever you're getting involved with financial stuff, or they're really pushing you really hard and trying to invest in something, it's always easy for somebody to say, well, if I were you, I would invest that $50,000 in this. Because it's not their money, and once you invest it in there, they get a commission off of it, so they really don't care that much about how it plans out for you in most cases. That's why I said it's best to do your own investment, in my opinion, from what I personally do, and stick with the metals, the gold, the silver, the platinum. I even told you guys that a couple months ago. When I was looking back at platinum again, platinum had dropped down to like a 5-year low, and it had only hit that price in the last like 15 years a couple times, when it dropped down to like, I think, high 8s, low 9s. And then, of course, you know, a month later, looked at it again, it was back over 1,000 again. And so, I mean, when you start looking at stuff like that, no matter what it does in the price range, you always have that ounce of platinum or that ounce of silver or that ounce of gold. It's always there in your hand, regardless if you sell it or you don't sell it. When you put $10,000 in Bitcoin or $20,000 in Bitcoin and it drops to $7,000 a coin now and you're looking at it, that $20,000 you have is now worth $7,000. Regardless if you sell it or not, that's all that's left in that. You have no metal. You have no asset. You have no infrastructure. You have nothing there left. All you can do is basically try to recoup your losses at that point. And what you were saying that earlier with the electrical companies, that has been so far a monopoly as we've seen it, that these guys, I mean, we have TECO in Central Florida. That's like the only option you have, TECO, the only electrical option around. And there was an article that was done actually at the University, I think of Netherlands off the top of my head. You guys can try and find out. I think Amsterdam University in Netherlands. And they did research on billing inaccuracies on these new smart electric meters. And they found that they were ranging from -32% to +582% of the actual power consumed in a month period, meaning it was some cases over 500% more or less than what people are being charged, or 32% less. Obviously, it was always on the high side in almost every case, but you have to understand, this is what these guys do, is what Dad just said. They always have the control over the utilities. That's why, look, you ever play Monopoly? What are the two ones that you always want to do that are always a fantastic return on your investment? The utility companies, the electric and the water, because they're like $150 to buy them, and every time, if you own both of them, you got $300 invested in them, and every time somebody lands on it, if you own both of them, they have to pay you like $75 a pop. There's a reason why they laid out the game the way it is. In my opinion, that's always been kind of an old school globalist template of how they like to do stuff, and more kind of a fun board game manner. But the utilities have been one thing that these guys have always been able to control. That's why they started mandating these smart meters in all these states now. They know they're inaccurate. They know they put out an inordinate amount of radiation frequency that is not healthy for any living being to be engulfed in on a daily basis whatsoever. And they've mandated it in most cases that you can't even get rid of them if they put them on your house. So this is something that they've done, and just another aspect of what they've done, along with the chemtrails and Monsanto GMO and the vaccinations and all this stuff that everybody has to be aware of on a regular basis, Deb.
Oh, by the way, ibuprofen now is being shown to damage the fertility of unborn girls. The painkiller can actually halve the number of eggs in the baby's ovaries when they're born. In other words, women who are taking ibuprofen while they're pregnant can actually damage their daughter's fertility. And trust me, the globalists know this. A study has found that painkiller can halve the number of egg cells in girls' ovaries, meaning girls exposed to ibuprofen while they were in utero, in the womb, may struggle to ever have a family. Prolonged exposure to ibuprofen during fetal life may lead to long-term effects on women's fertility. It's so important that people understand that when they're pregnant, just try to avoid everything they possibly can. By the way, I got to talk about one thing real quick. I got to talk about opiates for just a second. I was just contacted a few minutes ago by a dear friend of mine. He's like a family member. He's that close to me, like a brother to me. And his son basically got on pot when he's like 13, 14 years old and couldn't control it. And now they have just found out, and he has tested positive for opiates. And he's now taking OxyContin and all the other stuff that goes along with the opiates. And the reason this is happening in our society today is so many of these children are being pressured constantly to try different and stronger drugs. Like I've told you guys before, I'm completely and totally diametrically opposed for the use of marijuana to be legal for anybody under the age of 25. If they're over the age of 25 and they want to smoke dope, I could care less. But be remembering this, guys, pot releases dopamine. And dopamine is that same drug you get when you're eating high fructose corn syrup, the same feel-good chemical you get if you're looking at porn, if you like porn, the same thing that you're getting if you're drinking alcohol or eating sugar or high fructose corn syrup or any of this stuff. It all is a pleasure drug for the brain, whereas serotonin is the basic chemical that makes you feel good and be at peace. And remember, dopamine and serotonin are antagonistic. So the more dopamine your body triggers and releases, in other words, the more pot or drugs you take or alcohol or sugar you eat, the lower your serotonin levels go, which make you get depressed. So you're constantly trying to now trigger the pleasure molecules again. That's why so many people gain so much weight, because high fructose corn syrup does this. And so many people get addicted to pornography. They get addicted to alcohol. They get addicted to all of this stuff, guys. So it's so important that you do what you need to do to elevate serotonin naturally. Now, that's one of the hardest things to get because of the tryptophan. It's a very rare amino acid. It's very difficult to get. That's why there's several ingredients that the body uses to manufacture serotonin in the brain. One is 5-HTP, 5-hydroxyl-tryptophan. The other one is omega-3 fat, and the other one is B-complex that's methylated. It's critically important that you monitor your children. You don't allow them to get off on a tangent using drugs, using alcohol, you know, doing pornography and all that stuff that starts so many times at a young age and get themselves into this constant dopamine trigger. If they're gaining weight because they're getting so much pleasure from the food and the fructose and the sugar in the food, you've got to figure out how to elevate that serotonin levels to counter-effect that. That's so important. That's why people, 33% of the population, are over 100 million people, are now taking serotonin reuptake inhibitors because they have depleted serotonin levels, and they're saying so depressed all of the time because of the dopamine trigger. The dopamine downregulates serotonin. The problem when you take these products like Prozac and you suddenly deplete your raw materials because you don't have enough in your body to manufacture high enough quantities of serotonin, it drops off precipitously. You get suicidally depressed, and in many cases, you'll kill yourself. That's why they warn children not even to use these products, if at all possible. I recommend never use them, because it has a black box warning saying it will cause children to commit suicide. It will also cause adults to commit suicide. It's not an anti-suicide drug. It's a drug that causes suicide. So, guys, yep. So important that you understand the relationship between serotonin and dopamine. You want high serotonin levels in your brain. That's like you're being filled with a righteous peace and joy, because God's Holy Spirit will come in and fill you with that. And you'll have that peace. That's the peace that passes all understanding when we keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And when you combine that with proper diet and keeping off the high fructose corn syrup, proper amounts of tryptophan in the diet, proper amounts of omega-3 in the diet, proper amounts of B-complex in the diet, you stay real stable all the time, and you're not on an emotional up and down roller coaster. So guys, look at our healthy brain program at Health Masters. It really, really works well. And pray for that young man. I'm not going to give you his name because of confidentiality, but just pray for him as Ted's friend, his son. And now they're probably going to have to be putting that child, he's 18 years old, they're probably going to have to pull him out of his senior year in high school, and they're going to have to put him into Teen Challenge. And it's sad, because his entire life's going to be changed because of his inability to control dopamine and serotonin levels, and his inability to say no to people when they offer him things he shouldn't ought to take. Guys, thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for being with us. I appreciate you guys. I'm going to go ahead and go do the write-up on this. It's a very extensive show today. I love you guys. I appreciate you. I hope you enjoyed Hagman's show on Friday night. And guys, thank you for being my family. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for just being so kind as to listen to us every day and just making us part of your daily activities. And, you know, it means so much to me. And I just want to let you know, thank you. Because so many times we don't do that. We don't say thank you for simple things. And I appreciate the prayers, you getting your multiple vitamins from us, you getting your 5-HTP from us. And even me, every once in a while, I'll feel my serotonin levels drop a little bit. Because, you know, I'm raising teenagers. Remember, I got myself a 15, a 17, and an almost 19-year-old teenager. Every once in a while, I'll feel it drop off a little bit. I quickly go take a shot of cod liver oil. I take my about 4 B vitamins, methylated B vitamins, and I'll take one of the 5-HTPs. Now, remember, I can't use more than one of those 5-HTPs at a time because it can give me headaches. But as long as I take one, like twice a day, morning and evening, I can actually bring that mood back up within 24 hours and I feel great again. But I don't have to do that very often. But guys, if you're subject to mood swings or you're prone to that, it's really important to take that product every single day. I love you. I appreciate you. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Here's Austin.
Absolutely, man. And one other aspect, too, you can look at it, too. Is, you know, a lot of females, when they have their monthly period, they can also have issues with mood. That is also an incredibly good stack. And also, too, you want to add in the iron glycinate or the blackstrap molasses that we carry into that to help out with adequate amounts of iron, and also the ultimate multiple to make sure the body is basically being refurbished with the proper nutrients, vitamins, and minerals in the body. So that's a really good stack. We actually used to have one on. There was a serotonin stack kit on the website. I think I'm going to build one back today. We had taken it down because one of the products was out of stock a long time ago, and we never put it back. So I think I'm going to put something together to get today for you guys, because that is something that we get a lot of requests on that, a lot of people that are having issues with moods and stuff, and I don't think all the chemtrails and the aluminum and everything else they're spraying is helping one bit whatsoever. So definitely something to address, especially because those are very cost-effective products. And remember, the same thing like I've always said before, B vitamins are water-soluble. They do not build long-term in the system. So if you take the B-complex for a day or two and you start feeling really good, that doesn't mean you want to stop taking it again for a week. You want to continually keep those B vitamins very highly elevated in the body because of what they do, not just for the mood, but they're also very good for the adrenals, they're very good for the brain, they're very good for the heart. They play huge essential roles in almost every part of the central nervous system. So it's something you want to keep in your system on a regular basis. And speaking of that, since we've been talking about the last 5 minutes, it is on sale right now for over 10% off the B Complex formula, one of our best sellers. So you definitely check that out at the website as well. Lots of stuff on there, guys. We're getting a lot of stuff together. There's a new formula we addressed on Hagman's show We put this together for people that have essentially been having issues with focus, clarity, mental. I don't want to use the word ADD because ADHD isn't truly real. Even the doctor who basically came up with the medical diagnosis of attention deficit hyperactive disorder said on his deathbed that ADD is not really real, that there's a lot of aspects of people that are having issues with focus, being able to dial in on stuff, having mental clarity, but actual ADHD. That's why if you know anybody, if you've ever gone to the doctor or you've known somebody that's gone to the doctor and they've been going in for ADHD, there is no clinical test for ADHD. There's none. It's a series of questions that the doctors ask you. There's no blood work. There's no chemistry. There's no hormone checks. There's nothing. It's simply a questionnaire that you can answer. And what a lot of these kids have done now is they have found ways around this to go in and ask for Adderall, which is a Schedule II amphetamine salt. It's extremely addictive. It's extremely harsh on the adrenals. And it is not good long-term whatsoever. So before you put somebody on an ADHD medication, this is a formula, the attention factor, that we really want to kind of tweak. I'm not saying to come off your medication if you're working with a doctor. You have to discuss with them for that. But if this is something you're into, if you're needing a little bit more focus or concentration, this is a perfect formula because we added a high dose of our B12, our magnesium malate, and also our magnesium theanate, which is in our magnesium brain food, and we added the theacrine formula, which is apparently has a very good ability in the brain to help out with focus and mental clarity. So be sure to check that out. Right now you can use the Doug25 coupon on just that product. We're basically selling it at our cost because we want to get feedback from all of our customers on it, on the attention factor. So if you buy it, use the Doug25. You'll get 25% off this product pretty much at our cost. We're only going to be doing that towards the end of the week because we've already burned through a lot of the inventory and we want to get feedback after this first batch on how our customers like it, how it's working for them. So please, if you buy a bottle with this coupon, send us an email, send us a letter, call us up on the phone, 1-800-726-1834, and give us your honest opinion. Whether it's good or bad, we want to hear it. Whether you like it, whether you don't like it, the pros or cons to it, and any questions that you may have about it, please let us know. We'd love to get your feedback on it as much as possible. Thank you so much for that. And so be sure, like I said, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.